Blog Talk Radio.
Don't speak to me. You have no right to speak to me.
Oh, I do. Because you are just like me. You see Jesus in Gethsemane and believe your trial is the same as his. Those five in the pit are suffering too, just like Jesus. But they don't have your pride. They would never compare themselves to Jesus. Do you have the right to make them suffer? I heard the cries of suffering in this same cell. And I acted.
You excuse yourself! You excuse yourself! That is the spirit of darkness!
And what will you do for them? Pray? And get what in return? Only more suffering. A suffering only you can end. Whoa. Not God. I pray too, Rodriguez. It doesn't help. Go on. Pray. But pray with your eyes open.
Whew, that is one of the most intense scenes from Martin Scorsese's long-awaited film, Silence, which is out in theaters now. And we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes with my buddy Chris Bumbray from JoeBull.com. You know why I'm having him on here, really, though, right? I mean, it's not just to talk about Silence. And we're going to talk about Patterson for a minute as well. You know, the real reason is that it's January. And what happens in January? The Sundance Film Festival. Of course, you know, I'm there every year. Chris is there every year. We're going to talk about that, too, because I'm going to talk about how we met at Sundance. But whenever Sundance comes around, I got to have Chris on to talk about which movies to go see, because, man, I get swamped. I can't figure out what I'm going to go see. I don't know left from right. I listen to him. I go where he goes. I follow him. So we're going to talk to him about what movies are coming out at Sundance and also review Silence and Patterson. So we're going to kind of going to breeze through today's episode because we don't want to waste too much of his time. I know he's got a lot of stuff to do today, and so do I. So we're going to talk about that stuff. But before we do that, I want to welcome you to Cinema Royale, of course. I'm Travis Hobson. And I want to thank all of you that got on board with the premiere of Critical, the Movie Critics Network that we launched right here on Blog Talk Radio just a couple of weeks ago. It has gotten off to a huge success. So I want to thank all of you for that. You know, this is something that, you know, I've been working on for the better part of a year since I brought this Cinema Royale back. And I was saying I didn't want this show to just be, you know, just me doing another podcast. I wanted to have it be part of something else. And that was me laying the groundwork for Critical. And I, you know, spent the last few months really working with Blog Talk to find some people, to find a lot of people that'll be perfect for it. So, you know, we got Tim Gordon on there. We got Joanne Langfield on there. We got a lot of people. But, you know, almost everybody who is part of Critical is a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, just like me. We need to talk about Chris. We need to talk about Chris getting him in here. I know he's a part of the BFCA. I need to get him in part of Critical, too. We need to talk to him about that maybe after the show. But, you know, so we've got national film critics. We've got local film critics. We've got a combination of everything. But we've got a lot of talent, a lot of great shows, and you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/critical and check them all out. Subscribe to all of them and follow us on Facebook. You guys have been great so far, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And your comments have been great. You know, just keep hitting us with your comments, because we're taking in all, you know, everything you guys have to say. We want to hear all of it in order to make the network as good as possible for all of you, because we're movie fans just like you, right? So that's blogtalkradio.com/critical, blogtalkradio.com/cinema royale to find us specifically. All right, let's bring in Chris Bumbray of joeblow.com. What up, Chris?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm good, man. You know, when I say what up, Chris, I feel like Chris Cross from the
I'm about to.
The hip-hop duo for Chris Cross.
Warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born to do. I used to have that on cassette tape, Chris Cross.
Me too.
And when they wore their clothes backwards, man, that was a fad. I had it on. That was big. I missed the bus. Oh, yeah, now I'm in trouble. I'll never do it again. I was a big fan of that tape, man. I think I was 10 when it came out.
You do,
oh
man.
Yeah,
I
love those guys.
I didn't wear backwards clothes. I had the cross colors. I had all that kind of crap, man.
Did you wear your clothes backwards?
No.
Your button downs backwards. Buttons going down your back.
I got kicked out of school. Number one and two. I was kind of a big kid.
We had
a big
some
guy
people.
Now. I was a big kid. It would look awful on me.
We had some people in my school that did that. That wore the clothes backwards. Like crisscross when they came out, and
yeah.
They got into big trouble.
Yeah.
That did not go down in suburbia in Montreal, yeah. On the West Island. Oh well.
In our area, they would have thought it was a gang thing in my neighborhood. They would have assumed it was a gang
yeah.
thing if you came with the kind of stuff. So no, I didn't really
crisscross. I wonder what happened to those guys.
Welcome to the show, man. I feel like I haven't talked to you in a little while. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah,
but it feels like I haven't talked to you in a little bit. So,
I think the last one we reviewed together was like Kickboxer Redemption, Kickboxer mm-hmm. Vengeance, whatever
yeah.
it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Who cares?
We both kind of liked it.
No, I didn't like it. You liked it. I didn't like it.
That's right. I liked it. And you didn't
yeah.
like it, and I was like, you're crazy.
Oh.
Well, we're here to talk about what should be two better movies, Kickboxer Vengeance, Silence and Patterson. We're going to kind of breeze through both of them, so I really want to get to your Sundance picks.
Sure.
Let's kick off things with Silence, because I just put it earlier, and this is Martin Scorsese's, what is it, 30 years he's been trying to make this movie, something like that? About 30 years, right?
Something like that. I think it was originally like 1990 when he got the rights, so it's been a while.
Yeah. The Silence is based on the novel, and it follows two 17th century Jesuit priests played by Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver. This is a big week for Adam Driver, and kind of a big week for Liam Neeson, too, because he had a couple movies come out this week,
mm-hmm.
or at least expand this week. It follows two 7th century Jesuit priests who go to Japan to find their missing mentor, played by Neeson, who they believe it's assumed that he has denounced the faith. And in Japan at this point mm-hmm. in time, Christians are persecuted mercilessly, killed and forced to denounce their faith. Really by the thousands, if you look back in the history of that, back then, it was pretty brutal. And this movie is brutal. It's about 2.5 mm-hmm. hours. And I think this is probably the toughest thing Scorsese's done in a long time. If you're most familiar with Scorsese from his output from the last 10 years, you're going to be a little bit shocked by Silence, which I think is
yeah.
one of the most difficult movies I've seen in a long time. But I did enjoy it, mainly for the strength of Scorsese's convictions, which you can kind of feel coursing through the entire movie. But it's not going to be for everybody. What did you think of
no.
Silence, Chris?
I feel kind of like you did, I guess. One of the things about it was I had to turn my review around really fast for it because it opens in Montreal today, right? But it already opened in New York and LA. Usually we go with the New York LA reviews. They wanted to post it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to see it mm-hmm. Wednesday night, and I had to have my review up Thursday morning. But it's kind of tough because usually that wouldn't be a problem. But this kind of movie is something you really need to chew on for a while, you know? And it was weird because my knee-jerk reaction
yep.
coming out of it was that I respected what I had seen. I didn't know how entertained by it I had been. And I went with a bunch of people, and everybody kind of felt the same way. And, you know, I mean, thinking about it, having sat on it a little while, I mean, to me, it feels like it was a movie that Scorsese was compelled to make. and that he couldn't have necessarily gotten on with his career and made other movies until he made it. It was something he had to get out of his system, and it was something that's deeply personal to him, I guess, as a lapsed Catholic, a man of faith who has some issues with his faith. And I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be an entertaining film, and it's not. It's not an entertaining film. I think it's supposed to be something that's difficult to watch and somewhat punishing, right? And something that you're supposed to reflect on. And the more I reflect on it, the more I liked it. I'll say that. I ended up giving it like a 7/10 or something. I might have kicked it up a notch or something if I had a little more time to think about it. But I don't know. You know, it's well acted, beautifully shot. I mean, I feel like every frame in the movie looks like, you know, you could take it on its own, and it's so perfectly composed. There are things that Scorsese could have done to make it easier on the audience. I think he could have made it a good half hour, 40 minutes shorter. You know, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is 20 minutes shorter than Wolf of Wall Street, but it feels way longer because Wolf of Wall Street was a pretty fun, fast-paced film, right? I don't know. I mean, you know, Silence is definitely a difficult film. It's not for everyone, like you said. If you go and you're expecting entertainment, you know, I would say go see Hidden Figures or something later like that, right. You know, something that's an easier film. You know, Silence is not an easy film by any means, you know, and I mean, I'd say it's probably one of the toughest movies of the year to watch. I think if you're serious about films, though, I think you owe it to yourself to see it. And, you know, Scorsese's movies are always an event, and it is exactly, the movie is exactly the film he set out to make. There's nothing accidental about it. Scorsese is a master of the craft, and the way that I felt about it and the way that we all felt about it, I think, is exactly what he wanted us to think. So, you know, to me, it's a success.
Yeah.
Will I watch it again? Oof, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel this. I kind of feel the same way. And you know, I'm like, you mentioned that there were things he could have done to make it more entertaining. Well, I don't think that was his point. He didn't want to make it entertaining. He wanted to make it a movie that you didn't want to contemplate over. You know, after you've seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. When I came out of it, I was like, when they asked me, "How do you feel about it, Travis?" and I was like, "Let me get back to you," because I can't. I always hate. When they ask you how you feel about a movie immediately after, and I was like, give me time to think. I don't think I'll have that problem when I go see Monster Trucks tomorrow. I think I'll have an answer right away.
Yeah, me neither.
But but for Silence, I'll be like, I needed time. And the more I've thought about it, you know, I'm like you. I've come to respect it even more. There's a lot of little scenes in there that have been going around in my head. One of those scenes was the one I played at the beginning where the latter half of the movie, I think, is where it really picks up for me, where he's kind of given this just awful choice that he has to make.
Yeah.
And Garfield's character's choice, you know, about his faith. It's a terrible decision he has to make. And I'm not going to give it away what it is. You can kind of pick up on it by Neeson's comments. But that is when the movie really picks up for me. And it kind of made me wonder. And I'm not a man of faith by any means. But it made me think, if there was something that I believed in with all my heart, you know, what would it take to get me to give that up? What would I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I started my review, you know, with the quote, you know, sometimes, you know, God answers all prayers, but sometimes his answer is no. And this movie, it really is about that silence, the silence that you feel, when God doesn't answer. And, you know, everybody asks that question. Why does God allow so much suffering? And this is a movie that really kind of contemplates that. Did Scorsese need 2 hours and 40 minutes to contemplate that? I'm not so sure.
You know, I mean, I think the theme is kind of,
but,
you know, it's an interesting contrast. It's an interesting contrast to me to The Last Temptation of Christ, because, you know, that was all about what it takes to be a martyr. But this is all what it takes to martyr other people, you know, and I think that's the question. So I don't know. It's an interesting film. I think people should go see it, but is it stirring? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think what you said was very well put. So I think we both agree. Silence. If you're a cinephile like us, you kind of gotta go see Silence. You just kind of have to. And I think some people are going to relate to it more than others. Let's play a quick clip from Patterson. You and I are going to talk about Jim Jarmusch's place.
Sure.
Are you interested in poetry?
Actually, I am, kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
I write poetry. I keep it all in this notebook. Secret notebook.
Oh, you're a poet?
Yeah.
That's great.
Would you like to hear one?
Sure, sure.
It doesn't really rhyme, though.
That's okay. I kind of like them better when they don't.
Yeah, me too. Okay. This one's called Waterfalls. Two words, though. That.
Waterfalls. Okay.
Okay. Waterfalls. Waterfalls from the bright air. It falls like hair, falling across a young girl's shoulders. Waterfalls, making pools in the asphalt, dirty mirrors with clouds and buildings inside. It falls on the roof of my house, it falls on my mother and on my hair. Most people call it rain.
That's a beautiful poem.
You really liked it.
Yeah, I really do. I think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Waterfalls. Thank you.
I hope people don't just know Adam Driver from Girls and from Star Wars, because this is the week of the soulful,
yeah,
reflective Adam Driver. You know, he has a role in Silence, big role in Silence, and he leads Patterson, which is Jim Jarmusch's latest. Now, if you listen to that clip, you might think this is kind of a slow and dragging movie. It is slow. It's like most of Jim Jarmusch's movies, which are very deliberate. But there's something really beautiful about this movie. And, you know, I can't write poetry for nothing. I never could. I have family members who are poets, and their words, and it's like you wouldn't believe. It's not really my thing. But this movie made me appreciate poetry and the simple beauty of it. And the beauty of that can be found in the daily life that most people just don't pay attention to. I'm surprised by how much I like this movie. I thought I was going to be bored by it, but I really wasn't. I was kind of just taken in completely by it. But, mm-hmm. Chris?
I mean, Jim Jarmusch, for me, is kind of hit and miss. I know that there are people that mm-hmm. absolutely worship him, you know, and I've never been really a Jim Jarmusch worshiper. I was going to say Jim Jarmusch whisperer, but no, Jim Jarmusch worshiper. I do like some of his movies,
yeah,
though, and I did like
I loved
a lot.
Jarmusch,
I also thought,
since,
yeah,
I loved Jarmusch film since Ghost Dog, so.
Yeah, well, I like Broken Flowers quite a bit, but, you know, it's one mm-hmm. of those, it's one of those things, though, like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be slow too, but it was. You know, it was deliberately paced, but it was very enjoyable, very entertaining. Adam Driver is terrific. I really like his wife in the movie, and it was kind of this pleasant world that it's set in. You know, it's not really exactly reality. You know, it's this kind of world where, you know, everybody gets along. Everybody's kind of out to help each other out. You know, it's this weird kind of like mm-hmm. 50s style, like ideal Norman Rockwell ideal, through like a 21st century gaze, right? But it's kind of fun, you know. And the poetry is good, and it's a really nice performance. It's just, you know, it is. It's I would just say it's pleasant. It's a very pleasant film to watch.
Yeah, it is. I like to imagine that all of Jim Jarmusch's movies kind of exist in the same universe.
They do. I think so. Yeah.
It kind of gives me a chuckle. And exist in the same world as Only Lovers Left Alive. You know, I wish these characters could pass by one another and hang out sometime. I think that would be awesome. But
the ghost dog
really
shows up. This sword.
Patterson. I thought this was a really good fit. Yeah, exactly.
Riding on his bike.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, and Adam Driver here is terrific. It's just, it's not the kind of role I think it's the kind of role you're going to see from him more, especially as he's doing more blockbuster.
So.
You know, you'll start seeing more.
How many
stuff
people
like
see
this.
Him as that kind of gangly guy from Girls, you know, and I think that role has kind of defined him a lot. But I mean, I don't think he's like mm-hmm. that at all in real life, you know, and I mean, I think he's got a range, a really good range, you know,
I totally agree.
I mean, I can see him becoming, you know, a really big actor. I mean, he's fantastic in Silence as well. I mean, he's a really, I think he's a really solid actor. And you know, I think that Kylo Ren also, people have this idea of him that he's Kylo Ren, kind of this like pissed off guy. He's not, you know. I mean, he's, and this is kind of the opposite of that role, so it's kind of nice to see him in it.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, let's take a quick break, and you and I are going to come back, and I'm going to pick your brain about Sundance, because there are a few movies out there that
sure.
that I'm interested in, and I want to know what you think of them. So we'll
okay.
be right back. Chris Bumbray of JoeBull.com. All right, Chris, man. So we got the Sundance Film Festival coming up in just a couple weeks now. I can't believe it's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah, less.
It's crazy. People have asked me like how I know you, and I was like, I met Chris at Sundance, and the reason we met each other is because we were both always in headquarters. We're just two guys who are always in headquarters trying to churn out
reviews, recognize each
like
other
as quick as possible.
Yeah, and you see a guy around, and you know, and you see somebody around a lot, and you're like, oh, hey, what's up? You get used to seeing the person, and then you strike up a conversation, and you're waiting in line at the Holiday Village forever.
There are grinders up. Yep.
Yeah, you got to wait, you know, in line for an hour or something like that, and it really helps if you have a friend in line, you know, somebody you can talk to, you know, and kind of pass away at the time, you know, and
exactly.
And we just kind of
and we were always.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are grinders out there at Sundance.
Yeah.
Who are there to knock out as many reviews as possible. And
oh,
Chris and I are two
sure.
of those guys. So, but
yeah,
you
yeah.
definitely are.
I
you
try
do
to get at least 30.
You do about twice as many as I do. And I do a lot. And you
do
even more, which I just find insane. All right, so let me ask you about a couple movies that are coming out this year, because there are a few that have got me intrigued, and I want to get your opinion. The movie that I'm looking at as possibly the potential Oscar movie that I'm looking at of this one is The Yellow Birds, which is Alexander Morse, the guy who directed Blue Caprice, which I think is one of the best movies that came out that year.
That was a
really
good film,
in my opinion. I interviewed him and Isaiah Washington for that movie, by the way.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
The Yellow Birds stars Ty Sheridan, Jack Huston. Oh, he's amazing. Alden Ehrenreich is in there, Jason Patrick, Toni Collette, Jennifer Aniston. Is that one of the movies you're looking forward to, The Yellow Birds?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely one of the more high-profile movies there. I think a lot of people's eyes are going to be on it because of Ehrenreich, you know, and Han Solo and stuff. And I know that they're being pretty selective with him for the press. I think I may end up interviewing him at some point. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. The thing about Sundance is really it can be totally hit and miss. And I think it's very hard to predict what's going to catch on and what's not. You know, every year I go, you know, there's always one that I'm sure is going to be a surefire smash that nobody cares about. And then there's one that I'd never heard of that becomes huge, you know, and it's very tough to predict how things are going to go down. Yellowbird certainly would seem to have the ingredients because it's got movie stars in it. And but then again, also, there have been so many movies made about Iraq that, you know, it feels like almost overkill at a certain point, you know. So it has to be really, really, really well done if it's going to make any kind of impact at all. I think, though, the fact that it's the Blue Caprice director, which I actually didn't know until you said it, it's pretty interesting because that is a great film and that was really well received, and he'll probably bring some kind of interesting perspective to it. I'm definitely intrigued to see it, but it's not, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about that one.
Yeah, me too. Are there any other movies that you are particularly looking forward to this year?
I mean, I feel it's kind of low-key this year, and I feel like a lot of the stuff is kind of, you know, wait and see. One, though, that I'm definitely – that's pretty high on my radar is Wind River, the movie directed by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water, and it's his directorial debut, and he wrote this as well. And, I mean, that, I think a lot of people's eyes are going to be on that. The Weinstein Company's already kind of bought it and picked it up. And you know, the fact that it's Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, and that it's kind of, you know, apparently it's a loose trilogy that he's done with Sicario and Hell or High Water. So if it's along those lines, I mean, I think it could be very interesting. It's another one of those things, though, that maybe, you know, it's his first time directing a movie, and maybe the expectations are too high. I'm kind of expecting it to be pretty good, though. I have no idea what he's like as a director. I mean, I think he's a fantastic writer. So, you know, we'll see. That's definitely one that's high on my list.
Great writer.
Yeah. And, you know, otherwise, it's hard. You know, there's stuff that I find interesting, like The Little Hours with Alison Brie, although that director is not really a favorite of mine. Mason Blair has got a movie with Melanie Lynskey and Elijah Wood that should be pretty interesting. I'm just not made for this world or something along that line.
I don't feel at home in this world anymore.
That could be really good, you know, and Wood seems to have pretty good taste when he goes. I'm interested in XX, the all female directed and horror anthology.
I forgot about that one.
One of the ones that I'm most intrigued by, though, is that there's a midnight surprise screening this year on the Monday night. And I've heard rumblings. I don't know how accurate this is, but I've heard rumblings that it's Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Oh, that'd be great. That sounds like the kind of movie that would be there, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's got all the elements. And, I mean, I could see why it wasn't in the main list, because it's a studio film and they wouldn't have – I don't think they would have programmed it. But, you know, I could totally see it being the midnight, and it would probably be pretty interesting. I'm kind of also hoping that maybe it'll be something like Trainspotting 2 or even John Wick 2. I think it's pretty unlikely that it's a John Wick 2. It could be Trainspotting 2, though, because it opens at the same time as Sundance in Europe. I mean, I'd love it if they somehow managed to squeeze that in, or Twin Peaks, even.
That's a good point.
You know, they've got a couple of TVAs. It would be good if they added something.
I'd be very disappointed if I went there and it ended up being Trainspotting 2. But that's because I'm not a huge fan of Trainspotting. So, I mean, I'd be like,
oh, really?
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty psyched to see it. I mean, I really think it's going to be the Jordan Peele movie that will get out. I can totally see it being them, and they're also well liked by the festival.
I think you're right about that.
All the time,
like the Jordan Peele movie Get Out.
Yeah,
I ran into it would be kind of a dozen times last year.
Yeah, you know, and it straddles that line, you know, between indie and studio, I think, and mainstream. So, and I think it'll get people talking. It looks controversial. It'll get people talking. It'll be the kind of movie, you know, if they want to build buzz, that's a good place to do it, you know. And the fact that they're doing it at midnight as well, and that it's part of the midnight program, makes me think it's got to be that.
I agree. A couple that are on my radar: Ingrid Goes West with Aubrey Plaza. Also has Elizabeth Olsen in that one too, and O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, who I didn't think would ever act again after Straight Outta Compton, is in that one as well. I'm looking forward to that. Thoroughbred, which I think is one of Anton Yelchin's final movies, if not the final one. I know it's one of the final ones. It's him and I think Olivia Cooke and Anya Taylor-Joy, which is
I like her.
I love that. That's a great trio, in my opinion. Oh, yeah. And there's one more that I had on my mind. Crown Heights. Which stars Steve Stanfield, Nnamdi Azikiwe.
He's an interesting actor.
Ruskin, based on a true crime story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've met him a few times. He's an interesting cat, also.
That could be an interesting movie too.
And
I looked up
Roxanne, which is the Roxanne Shante movie.
Yeah. Crown Heights, I actually looked up the story after seeing that mentioned in the program guide, and it seems like it could be a pretty interesting one, I think. So, you know, fingers crossed that'll be good. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of really good ones that are going to emerge as the festival goes on. You know, it always happens like that. You know, the one that you don't figure is going to be any good suddenly becomes the must-see the festival. Whether or not that ever means that the movie actually opens and is seen by people is another question. I mean, God, you know, Birth of a Nation, perfect example. Everybody thought that was going to be the biggest thing of the year, you know, last year at Sundance. And then, you know, that ended up becoming a train wreck. I mean, it was good that we saw it, you know, and it was interesting. And there were a lot of think pieces written about it, but it was certainly did not go down the way they thought it was going to go down. So I don't know. We'll see. It's always
there's usually at least one or two. There's usually at least one or two movies. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's usually one or two movies that start out big and then flame out. Nobody wants to be the next Tadpole.
No, Tadpole.
But anyway, man. Well, Chris, I know you got Chris. I know you got to fly, man. But this has been fantastic. I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit about what to keep an eye out for at Sundance. I'm going to see you there in a couple of weeks, my friend. We're going to have a trip on you, though. So, all right, my friend.
Oh,
I'll talk to you later. I'll see you soon.
Bye now. Right. Bye then.
All right. That's my man, Chris Bumbray of JoeBlow.com. All right. So, we're going to take a quick break and then come back. And I'm going to go through the Blu-rays that are coming out this week. And then we're going to get out of here. There's some news that I'll quickly flash by, but not too much that's really kind of struck a chord with me. So we'll be right back. Let's talk about what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. Movies that came out this week and some that will be coming out next week. We obviously skipped the week because of the holiday season. So let's get back on track here. This week you've got Blair Witch, which was the not necessarily long-awaited sequel. This was the secret sequel to the Blair Witch Project. Nobody knew what this movie was. They thought it was just a regular horror movie called The Forest or The Woods or something. I don't know. And it ended up being Blair Witch. The movie was not very good and didn't make nearly the money that the original one did. And it's just disappointing overall. Denial, which is the Holocaust denial movie starring Rachel Weisz, which I thought was pretty good. Not great, but I thought it was pretty good. Middle School, which I did not see. I think it's based on kids' books or something. Next week, you've got The Accountant with Ben Affleck, which I think is underrated. I think people should check it out. It's a little off-kilter. Doesn't always make sense, but I kind of like how committed they are to it. The Birth of a Nation, which you just heard Chris and I talk about, as one of the great disasters from last year's Sundance. Deepwater Horizon is from Peter Berg and starring Mark Wahlberg, based on the Deepwater Horizon tragedy. Max Steel, which I never did see. It never opened out here in D.C., to the best of my knowledge. Or if it did, they kept it really quiet. They certainly didn't screen. And Kevin Hart, What Now?, which is the concert film, sort of a concert film. There's a little bit of a spy thing that goes on in it too, with Halle Berry. But mostly it's a stand-up comedy concert movie. News-wise, I mean, you know, everything has been so dominated by the death of Carrie Fisher, and then the next day by her mother, Debbie Reynolds. That it's been kind of hard to get into regular old news. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff about how Star Wars is going to proceed without Carrie Fisher. It looks like she did finish her scenes in Star Wars Episode 8, but it also appears that she had a really big role in Episode 9. I can only imagine, this is not confirmed or anything, we know that, spoiler alert, so if you want to avoid this spoiler, you might want to turn the volume down for about 30 seconds. You know, she most likely encounters her son, Kylo Ren, in the third chapter. Probably to turn him back to the light, I would assume. Who knows how that goes. Hopefully not like the last time somebody tried that. You know, there's going to be some major changes needed with her gone now. I don't know what they're going to do. But as long as they don't, you know, you see CGI to bring her back, then that's fine. Just don't do that. Not now. It worked for Rogue One. Don't do it with Carrie Fisher. Not now. The wounds are still too fresh, I think. I guess some news on Hugh Jackman possibly being open to a Deadpool and Wolverine crossover. The last couple of weeks have seen fans, you know, kind of going crazy over the idea that this could happen. There was a rumor that Ryan Reynolds had shot scenes to be in Logan, which is the quote-unquote final time that Hugh Jackman will play Wolverine. Now, those rumors were debunked by pretty much everybody. But since then, Ryan Reynolds has kept pressing on the issue about wanting to do this crossover, and Hugh Jackman's starting to sound like he's waffling a little bit. So don't be surprised if he comes out of retirement. At least to have Wolverine make some kind of an appearance in a Deadpool movie. You may not see a full-fledged crossover, but you may see a cameo by Wolverine at some point. I don't think there's anything that would stop him from doing that. He doesn't have to, you know, take his shirt off or anything. And he's always worried about his physique as he gets older. But you don't have to do all that. You get to show up with his jacket on, make a funny comment, or just flick somebody off, and that'll be enough. But you can't. It's kind of hard to imagine X-Men movies of any type without some kind of Wolverine mention. You know, at least to me, that's what it seems like. All right, that's only the news. That was all the news that really got my attention. There's some stuff about James McAvoy possibly being a New Mutants. I don't think that's anywhere near confirmed, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But that's basically about it. I wanted to make this an abbreviated show because Chris didn't have a lot of time, and I really just wanted to get his feelings on Sundance and Silence and Patterson, and we managed to do that. So I'm happy, and I hope you are too, with this episode of the Cinema Royale. This has been a lot of fun. I'm Travis Hobson. You can find me every day at punchdrunkcritics.com. If you're in D.C., you can find me on WETA Around Town. Got some new episodes of that coming up soon. And of course, right here on Cinema Royale. We are part of Critical, the Movie Critics Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/critical. Check out all of our programming there. You can also find us at blogtalkradio.com/cinema royale. We have some new stuff coming up soon, too. Some other changes in the works. Hopefully one of them involves a new studio. Hopefully I didn't just jinx it. We'll see what happens. But I hope you enjoy the show. I will talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.